Genesis chapter 2. Verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Remember, we've talked many times about, in Hebrew it really says, In dying you shall die. And the Lord God said, It is not good that man should be alone. I'll make him a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all of the cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. The idea is critical, that Adam could not fall or could not be put to the test until he named everything. The potential for the fall couldn't happen until the naming. You understand that? Does everybody understand that? Because otherwise there was only an awareness. But in the naming of a thing, then you emphasize its separation. And so we have all kinds of names for things. So rather than us understanding that because of the born-again experience we have been invaded from beyond, we still walk in this crazy world where we name whatever it is. We have to have a name for it. So we somehow feel in a certain way, and then we give it a name. We are depressed, or we are confused, or we are anxious. And every time we name something, we separate it from us. And because we separate it, then it becomes something that has to be dealt with independently. It's a situation. It's a thing that we deal with. I am in need, or I need money, or I need this, or I need that. But whatever we perceive, we name it, and we've been taught all our life to name it instead of it's just us. It's just what's going on now. So if we name it, then what do we have to do with it? We have to treat it independently. And we, by definition, end up treating it with no faith, without faith. So we leave the gift of faith in naming, because the naming separates. I don't know. I've talked about this before, and I don't think anybody ever understood it then.
I saw this morning when we were walking down to the coffee shop, and some guy walked across the street, and he's kind of ragged looking. And in my mind, I say, bum, neighbor, or something like that. And then I'll have to deal with it. with him because I've labeled him as something that's not human. It's an object, and I don't have to interact or whatever. I mean, that's just a small example of everything.
You mean to tell me you didn't see him at the town
hall? I know you did.
Well, I mean, if you believe the Gospels, you should see him as Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
But what does this naming do? What is the...
Well, one thing, it makes you God.
Well, but God told him to name everything.
And you're judging it good and evil, so you don't have to...
It's part of the test of the faith, the fact that we do name stuff. One more thing that comes against that.
Mm-hmm. Well, my point in all this is that this is the real challenge to go beyond that with regard to the gift. If I'm looking from the top down, if I have that as my predicate of my life, and I'm no longer ever seeing myself separate from whatever, especially from God, then this tendency to name is no longer manifest, because you have a different mindset. What you do is you say, I thank you, Lord, for you have placed whatever it is in my path right now in order that I can be transfigured by the renewing of my mind, and so I rest in it. I don't name it. I don't try to correct it. I don't try to do anything for it. It just is something that is at that point. Now, this is one of these things that's so hard to comprehend, because it's like asking, you know, a bird to describe air or a fish to describe water, because it is pervasive.
Makes me think of a couple other expressions like, I can't get a handle on this, or I haven't figured this out yet.
Right.
Or who am I? You try to name yourself.
Yesterday I was downtown coming home from the movie, and I had an experience like what Gary was just talking about. There was a guy downtown. I was thinking in my mind that yesterday, you know, it's like downtown Memorial Day, it's like on Sunday work. It's like the only people down there are crazy people and homeless people. You know, this guy came over and, you know, he was asking people for money or something, you know, to give him a sandwich. But he came over to me and, you know, and I said, hey, I don't have anything, and, you know, I want you to leave me alone. And he went home. But at no time did it ever occur to me, or anywhere in me, you know, to see, you know, Christ in that person. Because, like you said, I labeled him a homeless person. You know, he was drinking, you know, he was dirty, and, you know, all that stuff. So, I just don't know how you do it.
I don't either. But that's not the point. The point is that we don't know how, and if we can... What is the thing? What is this thing? What is it that causes us to label, to... And what is the thing that keeps us from this incredible place which is our inheritance, which is total union with God, partakers of the heavenly nature, all power in heaven and earth? What is it? What is it that keeps us from it? Well, I mean, the simple answer is it's sin. Now, therefore, but we can't see that as sin. We have to do some other dance. So instead of seeing these things, we make judgments about them, or we name them.
That's the name. The name is the judgment. And the reason you do it is because it makes you greater than it. That's how you become above the thing that you name. You take control, command, psychic ownership, whatever you want to call it. You raise yourself up. You're not vulnerable.
So,
the foundation of a wall.
But again, this is real hard to understand and real hard to talk about it because it's so simple. Can you imagine your life if you never again named the condition that you were in? If you just accepted that, yes, Father, I accept this as necessary for your purposes. And instead of, I've got to get a handle on it, I've got to get name it, I've got to deal with it, I've got to. But my point is, the reason that we do that is to keep us from repenting. It's this thing's biggest trick. It's this evil one's biggest trick, because instead of, if we were free and open, the instant we named it or labeled something, then it would cause us to repent. The instant the tendency was to label, the instant the tendency was to name, what it would be, it would be that the weapons of our warfare aren't carnal, but they're mighty through God to the blowing down of those strongholds. It would be the idea that we would be able to walk in this state of repentance. Now, if you hear nothing else this morning, what is necessary for the gift of faith to operate in its intended and full purpose is to walk in a constant state of repentance. That's the only way that you cannot. Everything else, and every other thing, whether it's labeling, whether it's naming, whether it's judging, what you're doing by definition is you're taking a stand. You've got a place to stand, and so therefore there is no repentance. You've got to come. It's got to hit you some way, somehow, somewhere. That as believers we have been invaded from beyond. And there is absolutely nothing about the way we live that is right. Because sin has separated us from this mystery. And the only possible way that He is manifest is in our repentance, our abandonment. Are leaving ourselves behind. And every time you name a name, every time you label, every time you make the slightest judgment, then it is simply your sin reviving. And so the union, the partaker of the heavenly nature, the whole promise is left in the dust. For the sake of the name or the label. Do you understand why it had to be this way, though? It's the perfect solution, so that it had to be this way. This way, this is how you are exercised. This is the way in which, but without the preaching of the cross, you could never do this. You could never know it even.
If it wasn't this way, then the question Ronnie asked, how do you do that? Would be the way, and you could have a thousand principles of how to do it, but the reason this is, there's always just one answer, and that's pick up the cross.
But it's critical that you must see by the gift of faith that your life is now an absurdity to anyone looking at you. Because you have been invaded from beyond. There is a life that is perfect, that is exactly as it should be, that is always there. And the only thing that's necessary is this constant state of repentance, which the Bible calls humility, the constant state of emptiness, which the Bible calls humility. That's why humility is the first, second, and third requirement, according to St. Augustine, for Christianity, for believers. And that's why what we see today in the name of Christianity, about claiming something, or we have the right to something, is the mortal enemy of true faith. But what you have to see, not concerning with what they are seeing, what you have to see is your labeling of situations and naming of conditions is exactly the same enemy of faith. You are to be transfigured. The word, again, Romans 12, be ye not conformed to the world, but be you transfigured or transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The good and acceptable and perfect will of God has already been proven or tested. Now the only question is whether or not it's going to be manifested in you. And the only way it's going to be manifested in you is for you to understand that sin isn't what you do, sin is what you are. And you must therefore always walk in a state that is exactly opposite from everything in you, so that you're no longer a debtor to any aspect of the flesh, not to your feelings, not to your sight, not to your hearing. You see through everything to see the perfected Christ. The naming and the labeling and the insistence on putting a name to your condition is part of the enemy. Well, if we didn't name it, then we wouldn't have any progress. Well, you know what my statement is about that. We haven't had any progress in 2,000 years. Does anybody understand this at the gut? If you don't, please say something. Because the gift of faith will never apprehend you without your walking in this emptiness.
The end of it is like when Jesus said, you do something, you know, a cup of cold water in my name, you're doing it as unto me. It's a hint that, hey, maybe the things that I'm looking at and deciding what's what is totally different. It's like you look at everything and you see God, you know, that's God, rather than what I decide it's going to be.
It's like you were saying earlier, you know, it's so simple, but it's like I think sometimes, you know, I see the simplicity or understanding of whatever, but then there are other times when, you know, you say it's simple and you just, you know, it's like, you know, it isn't very complex. And I don't get it and I don't understand it.
What is separating? What is the separation? It's only one thing. It's your sin.
The naming, it doesn't separate the thing, it separates me as I can recognize myself as
independent.
Independent self.
Remember this thing we've talked about so many times, if I can find it.
Something I see here, if you're not walking either hot or cold, you won't ever see that. You'll be in the gray. I was able to justify rather than get to a point where you can repent.
Okay, here's what happens. Here's the path of all men. We go from individuality or going to the land of Goshen or getting to the best or trying to... We go from individuality to despair. But the problem is we go from individuality to despair 5 million times until there is no more desire to go in that direction. But despair is your only hope. If you didn't have the despair, then you'd be without value to God. So you go from this individuality, the isolated self, to what? To assistance. And God, we've got, maybe God's going to help me in all this. And that's essentially evangelical Christianity. I'm going, individuality is the natural. You go to despair. Then do you go to assistance? Aha, I've got a God that's going to help me out in my plans and ideas. Anybody? Sound familiar?
Yeah, to get back from the despair back to where I was before, where things seem to be going better.
Right. I know, then I go from, if I'm really honest with myself, I go to despair a million times, but I stay in that, still believing that if I pray right, or I give more money, or if I hold my head right, or if I study more, or if I... But finally, for a few, you break through. And you go from despair to partnership. A partnership is a charismatic world.
It's an irony of the main target of our investigations has been Word of Faith movement. And the irony is that we're doing the Word of Faith kind of stuff.
Yeah, I told you the only reason that God allowed these guys to be there is so you can see yourself. Then we finally go from despair to death. Maybe a few end up hearing the meaning of the cross. But then you go to despair again. Until there's what's called reconciliation. The word reconcile in the Greek is to exchange. You have exchanged identities. And there's no need for any more. Because for you to live as Christ, to die is gain. Whatever is a gain to you is a loss to Christ. So you glory in affliction. You glory in tribulation. Because that's the thing that works this mystery. Because you know that the trial of faith is the only precious thing. Faith is as common as... But it's the trial of faith. But it's not the trial of faith with regard to the faith of my ability to believe in something unbelievable. It's the trial of this faith that's the gift of God that is always manifested, that never needs assistance, that never needs partnership, that never needs anything except for me to get out of the way. And so when I say you have a you shift your point of view or you have a paradigm shift, it costs you everything to have that shift. And if you're not interested in having that shift, if you're interested in continuing in this little miserable little life, dependent, your moods are dependent on how somebody treats you or how you're feeling, then stay there. I don't care. It's your business. But I'm telling you, that it's your sin, abject sin that crucified Christ, that's keeping you from the fullness that's right in front of your face. Paul says in Galatians that it's the hearing of faith. Instead of the hearing of the voices. Oh, but you just love those voices. They're so nice. You're so familiar. Until you hate those voices in your head, until you hate the very idea of ideas, you're going to continually walk in this separation. Every once in a while you have a good day. Most of the time you'll have a bad day. Every once in a while you'll see and then go away and go back to your own. He has placed all things under His feet, Christ. But we do not yet see all things placed under Him. But by faith,
we see Jesus. The only way we can see Jesus is from the top down. To see his finished work at every second, and in order to see his finished work, you have to see your sin. As long as you want a solution, as long as you want a how-to, as long as you want a what-if, or I should've, or any other thing, as long as there's the slightest spirit of unforgiveness in you, you're going to continue to walk in this realm of the senses. But the gift of God is eternal life. And it's there right now. Why would you neglect so great a salvation? Was the lament of Paul. Why would you sell it for a momentary feeling of superiority? Or a momentary feeling of victimhood? Paul said we must, by every and all means, expound this way of God more perfectly. It's not some new gimmick from God. It's the depth of your sin that you could see the fullness of repentance, that you might walk in His mystery at all times. You have been reconciled. You have been exchanged. You owe the flesh and your mind and your emotions absolutely nothing. Well, it's just the kind of person I am. I just love when you told me that. Oh, it's just the kind of guy I am. Tell me something I didn't know already. We've already... You're perfect. You've been perfected forever by His one offering. You are complete. There is no lacking. That's what the Word of God says. If you believe this is the Word of God, if you believe this is just another book, then you can go believe, you know, you better go read Dr. Phil or Dr. Lore, one of those people.
You say about preaching removes time from the equation and cuts through to where you have no cloak for your sin. Repent because you see it.
If anyone ever tells you something that you can do, it's not preaching. The only thing you can do is reckon your own sinfulness, your own evilness. And if you can't do that, you can't hear anything I'm saying.
Traditional preaching would say that when you come across the situation sometime in the future, how are you going to react? It's going to be different this time. And sitting here now, it's this moment that my voice is talking, it's this moment that the Antichrist is resurrecting itself.
Trying to. Hopefully not resurrecting. That's why repentance, that's why, again, this stupid cliche, but truth is a sustained consciousness of error. Well, why don't you ever emphasize the plus side of the cross? Why don't you preach on what happened after the cross? Well, because that's not my business. That's the power of God. Stop being concerned with outward activity. Be consumed with receptivity. the reason we're spending so much time on this is because the gift of faith is everything. It's a gift that's been freely given, and you discard it for the sake of your judgments and thoughts and ideas. What?
Well, over the weekend I listened to 10 Bible studies from 1985. And I just talked through the whole damn thing.
Oh, yeah?
Awful, disgusting. Yakety, yakety, yak. Every time I hear it, I just want to throw up.
Well, you had the ministry of Kent back then. You were trying to explain to me what I was saying. But you were trying to explain to me what I was saying so you can get an attaboy. How many attaboys did I ever give you?
Like I said, every time I hear it, I just want to throw up.
And how many attaboys did you ever get from me? And then did you test to make sure I was saying the same thing then as I'm saying now? I figured you did.
I do that every day. It's my job.
You and Rutledge. All righty. Please. Taking a stand and after hearing this is just stupid. Just be. All right, take a big guy.